jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender.
With Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I'm Dr. Naomi Bernstein.
And we want to tell you about Calm the F*** Down, a guided meditation series from the Oversharing Podcast. This is something we've been planning for a long time. It's our most requested segment from the podcast. And these meditations are going to be between 5 and 10 minutes. They're going to be super quick because we don't have a lot of time. You're going to be so surprised how 5 to 10 minutes of really thoughtful meditations can transform your whole life. In addition to the first 4 meditations available at launch, we'll be doing 2 new meditations every single month. Plus, for the fans of Oversharing Podcast out there, you'll also get ad-free versions of every episode of the Oversharing Podcast.
So if somebody wants to become a subscriber, how do they join?
It's so easy. You just go to subscribe.betches.com and sign up now for only $4.99 a month. Or you can lock in our discounted rate if you sign up for the whole year. That's subscribe.betches.com. Or if you're in the Apple Podcasts app, you can just hit the subscribe button now and sign up in the app. It's as easy as that.
Have a seat, everybody. Welcome, one and all, in here, out there, Mr. and Miss America, and all the ships at sea. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. It has been over a week now, right? Since Republicans ousted Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy in favor of their preferred leader, madness. Yesterday, it seemed like the House GOP finally got their act together and nominated Louisiana congressman and man in Mars atmosphere without a helmet, Steve Scalise. Huge, huge moment for Scalise for about 5 minutes when it became clear that he lacks the votes needed to win the gavel. You see, he needs 217 to become speaker. But in the nominating round, he only got 113. I'm no math man. That sounds like less. People are losing faith now that Scalise can make up the difference, including the last guy who sucked at the job, Kevin McCarthy.
Do you think it's possible that he can get the votes?
Possible. It's a big hill, though. He told a lot of people he's going to be at 150, and he wasn't there, so.
Great pep talk, coach. All right, team, it's halftime. You're down 3 points, so I want you to dig deep and realize that there's nothing inside. You're all filled with the caramel core of loser, and man, am I glad I'm not your coach anymore. Oh, I forgot to mention, I quit. Scalise can only afford to lose 4 votes total, right? Okay, 4 votes, and right now, at least a dozen Republicans are refusing to ever back him. Some are against him because in 2002, Scalise spoke in an event founded by former Ku Klux Klan leader and current white nationalist David Duke, though Scalise later denied knowing that the event was affiliated with neo-Nazis. Ironclad defense. Oh, neo-Nazis. I thought you said no-Nazis. Sorry, it was hard to hear what those guys were saying through the hoods. One never-Scaliser is South Carolina Representative Nancy Mace, who went on Jake Tapper's Tappity-Tap Time to explain who she would support.
I think Jim Jordan is not out of the mix. I've talked to a lot of people who still support him. I've actually talked to Democrats who trust him at his word. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility.
Jim Jordan?
Yes, I've talked to Democrats over the last week on who do they trust, even though they wouldn't agree with him on many issues. He is someone.
The Jim Jordan from Ohio? I've never seen Jake Tapper that surprised. Jimmy, can you play the rest of that tape? Jim Jordan from Ohio?
Oh, yes, the Jim Jordan from Ohio.
Now, since the Republicans evidently cannot settle on someone to bring in for the job, they're considering hiring a temp. And this is true. Reportedly, there was talk in the GOP meeting of putting in a temporary speaker for 90 days to provide more time to figure out a plan. They could even give the temp job to the old guy. You can see it all on the sexy new reality show, 90 Day McCarthy. To add insults to unpopularity, Steve Scalise is even getting the cold shoulder from New York representative and and airbrush American George Santos. Last night, George Santos tweeted, "It's just past 9:40 p.m., and I have yet to hear from the speaker designate, so I've come to the conclusion that my vote doesn't matter to him. I'm now declaring that I'm an anyone but Scalise, and come hell or high water, I won't change my mind." Wow. I haven't seen him this upset since he lost the NBA championship to Michael Jordan and the Toon Squad. Earlier this, he played for the Monstars. He played for the Monstars. Dangerous in the paint. Earlier this week, Santos was indicted for credit card fraud and identity theft, and as a result, a group of New York Republicans have moved to expel Santos from the House. Okay, I understand. That may be exciting to you, but if the Republicans kick him out, they will lose the entire Santos caucus. George Santos, Anthony DeVolder, Katara Ravash, Batman, and Admiral Ludwig von Pseudonym. One New York Republican declared Santos is not fit to serve in the House of Representatives. He's a stain on the institution, adding he is also a stain on our state. Coincidentally, a stain on our state is also the official motto of the Port Authority bus terminal. Model. Model. Yeah. There you go. No, that's all right. Don't. Don't. Please. For his part, Santos told the press he was going nowhere, saying, "They can try to expel me, but I pity the fools that go ahead and do that and think that's the smartest idea." You pity the fools? First identities, now you're stealing catchphrases? What you talking about, Santos? Hey. Speaking of fools, Donald Trump. He is still out on bail and hitting the trail down in West Palm Beach, Florida, last night. He comforted a troubled world rocked by recent tragedy.
"This is the worst microphone I think I've ever had. I hope you can hear me back there. Justin, don't pay the bill for this mic. I'm blowing out my voice talking to this stupid mic. This is the worst mic I've ever had."
That is the hardest he's been on a mic since Pence.
Wow.
Wow. I'm not sure what to make of that. I'm not sure what their reaction was. That was neither approval nor laughter. That was like, "I'm mad at you that I enjoyed that." He complained on.
"Turn up the mic. Is it okay? And then I don't pay a bill and they say, Trump doesn't pay his contractors." You know, it's unbelievable. It's a rotten, lousy mic. The state of it, but it's not my deal. It's not my deal. I have a good mic. I always have. You don't have a good mic, it's a very difficult deal. You walk out for 2 weeks, you're talking, you say, what the hell happened to his voice? The state of Israel is a blessing to the world. Our prayers are with them now.
That was an abrupt. That was... The lighting here is terrible. The deli spread is warm, and they don't have any name brand soda, unless you count RC soda, which I do not. Nana loved life and was taken too soon. But then he laser-focused on the Middle East, and it got worse.
"I read all of Biden's security people. Can you imagine? National defense people. And they said, gee, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack from the north, because that's the most vulnerable spot." I said, "Wait a minute. You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it. You know, I said that President Xi of China, 1.4 billion people, he controls it with an iron fist. I said, he's a very smart man. They killed me the next day. I said he was smart. What am I going to say? But Hezbollah, they're very smart."
Does he know he doesn't have to compliment all the most evil people who have ever lived? "Say what you will, and they hate when I say this. Stalin had great teeth, okay?" They get mad. They say, "Oh, why does he say he must have flossed? He was a great flosser, Stalin. What am I going to say? He got right up in the gum line, okay? Very good flosser. 4 out of 5 dentists agree. FDR... gingivitis." That's it. They wouldn't show his gums on TV. So bad he couldn't walk. Trump also had this bold prediction for 2024.
When we win next November, it will be an epic political earthquake, the likes of which the world has never seen before. If we don't win, this country is going to be fire hell.
Oh, no. Not fire hell. That's the most famous hell. That's the brand name hell. That's so much worse than Kirkland Signature, heck. So let me get this straight. If he wins, epic earthquake. If he loses, fire hell. He really does think that he's the alpha and the omega. When I die, everybody dies, okay? When I blink, everybody dies for just a little bit, okay? Then they're back. Look, dead, live, dead, alive. You're dead, you're alive, you're dead, you're alive. Dead, live, dead, live, dead, live. And folks, let me ask you this. Can you believe this microphone? Trump might have a problem when it comes to this election. You see, in several states, including Colorado, Minnesota, Michigan, New Hampshire, Arizona, Florida, and West Virginia, he's facing lawsuits seeking to have him disqualified from the ballot under the 14th Amendment. Obviously. Obviously, everyone here knows about the 14th Amendment. For those of you out there who don't know the amendments like we do, the 14th is the one right between the 13th and the 15th. And the 14th Amendment prohibits those who have engaged in insurrection against the United States from holding elected office in what's known as the Insurrection Clause, which is also the title of Tim Allen's worst Christmas movie. We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, John Mulaney.
Here's the thing about eating. We all have to do it, sometimes even a few times a day. But if you already have a lot on your plate that isn't food, like stuff to do, figuring out your meals can be stressful. By the time you get breakfast going, it could be lunchtime. And then what? Eat your breakfast for lunch? Is that allowed? Yes, you're a grown-up who can make their own choices. And whether that choice is eating breakfast for every meal or bending to society's construct of proper mealtimes, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals that can be ready in as little as 2 minutes. Tailored to your schedule and weird eating habits, you have the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your cool new breakfast-only lifestyle. You can even try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus, if that's what you're into for breakfast. Or any meal. You do you. Head to factormeals.com/lateshow50 and use code lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lateshow50 at factormeals.com/lateshow50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Welcome back to The Late Show. You know my guest tonight as a very funny comedian with specials including New in Town, Kid Gorgeous, and his newest one, Baby J. Please welcome back to The Late Show, John Mulaney.
Nice to be
no, we don't have to shake
I know,
it.
I don't
I was
know.
Pointing at you.
Yeah, I know. Well,
I was pointing at you.
When a hand is out, you
to
shake
the audience
it.
Like the beef on a tray.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello, Steven.
So, didn't shave, no tie. You've changed.
I know. That's all that's
this
changed.
This is not the John Mulaney I remember.
No, I'm trying. I thought this would look nice. I saw people wearing no ties around town, and I thought, I'm going to wear no tie on Steven's show.
You look great.
Thank
I'm not
you.
Saying you don't look good. It's just not the look I'm used to. You have more formal John Mulaney than I'm used to.
Yes, this is slightly less formal, but still very guarded and formal. Don't worry.
Well, you and I keep in touch casually and occasionally over texts, you know,
absolutely.
As going on, you know, for reasons that we can get into. I have great affection for you. And but this is the first time we've sat down in person, in conversation, certainly publicly, since you set yourself on fire and ran into traffic. And that does not... That does not generally work out well for people, but you seem great. How are you?
I appreciate that. One, it's fun that we both know that that's a Richard Pryor reference, yeah. But to those not acquainted with it, you just sounded...
really
like
hostile.
Like a sick burn on my own journey.
Yes.
Yes, since I last saw you, I've been in a couple drug rehabs. I have been... this December, sober 3 years. Welcomed a wonderful baby boy into the world with my girlfriend Olivia. And yet, I'm back here. It's been a while.
It's really nice to see you.
You texted me sometime when I was going through a lot, and it meant a lot to me. Because I don't mean like I worried what you thought of me as if you wouldn't have compassion for someone in that situation, but your opinion means a lot to me. And when you reached out, it was extra special in a way. So, thank you.
Well, I'm glad. I think you're very special.
Thank you.
Okay, so the latest special, which I saw live at MSG.
Yes, you did.
Baby J, it addresses your relapse, your intervention, and your recovery. What is it like for you to write this and share it with the world? Not everybody would do that.
World sharing wise, that actually doesn't. That's the least difficult part about it for me. I have trouble telling maybe three people something personal, but telling like MSG 12,000 people is very comfortable, and that might be a real sickness. Like that genuinely might be something to work on.
A crowd like this might be easier to reveal a secret.
100%.
What's your?
No. Well.
What's your bank PIN number?
Oh, okay. It's yes. You'd really like it. That's a hint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Then I'll get into something that you and I share.
I almost want to tell you and then I'd change it, but
sure.
I won't now.
Because this isn't live. By the time, I mean, these people probably couldn't get to an ATM before you told me.
No.
But
it's also my Roku password, and I don't mess around with that.
You and I both have a love for this play called A Man for All Seasons.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Matter of fact, in my phone, speaking of secret things you're not supposed to reveal, I have, like, some of my famous friends, I have them under fake names.
Oh,
like,
you do.
Like,
yeah.
Conan is Pale Male, and, and Jon Stewart is Doofus. And you are the common man, who is a character from the play,
yes,
Man for All Seasons.
Yes, he's the narrator.
And
when I call you, it says the common man is calling?
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Well, the one of the things that I like about that play that we've talked about is that it's a play about the self. In other words, is there some part of you that is you from which you can never retreat? That if you gave up that part of yourself, you wouldn't be you anymore. And I think part of recovery is introspection and examining the self. What did you learn about you in this process?
Oh, that's a good question. You mean what did I learn sort of core?
You can
at my core?
Answer it any way you want.
Oh.
I am not going to ask it again. It was a good question.
Really good question. What did I learn about myself? I am a happy person. I have, for some reason, set up various obstacles in my own way that have left me sometimes pretty wrought up, pretty disoriented, and pretty unhappy. But I am, at my core, a happy person. And it's okay for me to protect that by living the life I want to live. I am very lucky. I have a very good life. And I don't want to be the reason that gets complicated. If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It does. Yeah. David Byrne, the great David Byrne, does the music for Baby J.
Yes, he does.
I saw you live. I did not see David Byrne there. Is this something he just scored later, or did he perform some nights?
He scored it later, and he worked with the arranger from one of my favorite solo albums of his, Grown Backwards. Mm. And I emailed him. I just thought, man, I know he's busy. He had the amazing show Here Lies Love, which is right next door, open up. Yep. So fantastic.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, this is, you know, he's a very busy man, and he's David Byrne, but I asked him, would you possibly consider composing some music for this? And he was game.
What does that do to you? Like, okay, so that's another thing about examining your life. Like, when you go like, I mean, I guess I could call David Byrne. I mean, hey, he's not going to. And then he says yes.
Yeah.
That's a weird part of being, achieving a certain level of success in your business that you can reach out to other people you admire.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I'd love to do something with you. How do you take that? I have a hard time with my good luck in that regard.
Oh, yeah? How so? You feel unworthy of it?
I don't want to bother anybody.
You don't want to bother
anybody? I suppose unworthy isn't the thing where I don't... Maybe that is. Maybe it's unworthy.
Yeah.
But I also am very quick to hero worship.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not like I suck.
Too.
It's like,
yeah.
It's David Byrne.
Yeah.
Why? He doesn't have time. He's got to go be a genius.
I have decent self-esteem as well, but I would never think someone would be, I would think anyone would have something better to do than talk to me or hang out with me. That's less about I think I'm the worst and more just I think, nah, people aren't thinking about me. They have their own lives. They don't want to do this, you know. So I am also, very reluctant to bother people.
Wow.
Yeah. Did that get darker than I meant it to? I don't know.
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like you're bothering me?
Yes.
Never.
Okay.
No, I'm always very
excited.
When
I texted you about that Anthony Hopkins movie, I was like, you should check this out. I was really nervous. I was like, Steven's got, he got a late show and he's got so much to do. I wondered if you'd be like, I like John, but he should it's 10 p.m.
Boundaries.
Boundaries, yeah. Were you ever, in A Man for All Seasons?
No, but boy, the part I want to play in A Man for All Seasons, and then for people to enjoy this conversation, you need to go pause right here, watch the entire movie, and come back to the conversation.
It's about worth it. This guy, St. Thomas More, who before he was a saint was just Thomas More.
And he was Henry VIII's best friend.
He was Henry VIII's best friend. Henry VIII wants to break away from the Catholic Church to create I'm glossing over a lot of history, but...
To get his own wife.
He wants to marry Anne Boleyn, and this means he has to break from the Pope.
Yes.
Thomas More disagreed with this.
Because he was Chancellor of England at the point.
He was Chancellor of England, and Henry VIII cut off his head. Now, my dad, if you... Thomas More was a great lawyer. That is absolutely how my dad would like to die, is that... The king goes, you are a great lawyer, but you're too Catholic, and we need to cut off your head. My dad would be like, oh, no, if that's my legacy. Oh, man, I hope not.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. The part I want to play is I want to play the part that I believe it was John Hurt's first part, which was as Richard Rich, who is one of his, young friends, who is, a hanger-on of his, who betrays him.
Yes.
To the court.
It would be like if I betrayed you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I want to play it because I guess I accuse myself... I always want to play parts that kind of accuse myself of the... that publicly accuse me of the thing I privately accuse myself of.
You think you're like Richard Rich?
Well, I accuse myself of weakness, that I think that I actually do not have an ethical core, is my fear.
Oh, yeah, I get that fear.
You
mean like if it was put to the test?
If I wanted to, I wouldn't want to play Thomas More, because that would be like, I want to play Thomas More because I'm like Thomas More.
Yeah.
I identify more with Richard Rich. I mean, I imagine that when Pontius Pilate had Christ up there and said, who do I release, Barabbas or Christ? I'd go, release Barabbas. I'm pretty sure I would have done the same thing as the crowd. I would have gone with the crowd. That's my fear.
Yeah, I have that fear too. And when you're faced with getting your head chopped off, it would be pretty stressful.
Sure, exactly. But that moment, there's that great moment where Margaret, his daughter, comes to him in prison and says, Dad, just take the oath that the king is the new head of the church and don't mean it. And he says, when a man takes an oath, he holds himself in his hands by so much water.
Yeah.
And if he should open his fingers at that moment, he should lose all hope of ever finding himself again. Some men are incapable of this, but I am loath to think that your father is one of them.
Wow,
and
nice.
that is the thing that I think about all the time, is that could I keep an oath?
I would, honestly, the person I most relate to in that play is Margaret, his daughter, who's like, will you just not? I get it. Yes. You have your principles, but this guy's crazy. He's gonna cut off your head for real. He's that crazy. He wants to get married. He wants to slam this woman so much he's gonna break from the Pope and cut off your head. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
I really relate to her, and I don't mean to say I think she has a pragmatism that is interesting, and you could see Thomas More as someone who. Really wanted to be the best guy. And is there something selfish about trying to have such a holier-than-thou legacy, I ask you?
Have you ever read or seen Murder in the Cathedral by T.S. Eliot? Because that's about Thomas Becket. another Thomas who got his head chopped, or killed, not, he was murdered by the king's men. And nice. That was another Henry who killed him. And he has three temptations about, like, ways he can get out of being killed by the king. And then the fourth temptation comes, which he doesn't expect. And the fourth temptation is pride. No, you will die, but you'll be a martyr and a saint. And great.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what you're talking about. The pride of being good. Is it possible to be good and not be big about it?
Right. That's another thing. When you do something good, do you keep it to yourself because you think it won't
count? I got
a
TV show, baby.
Yeah.
Everything is content.
All right.
Beautiful. I try to.
Huh?
How about you? Do you keep things to yourself?
Yeah, if you do something good for someone and you tell other people about it, then it doesn't count.
Dissipates.
Yeah.
It's like telling people what your birthday wish was.
Oh, yeah, you can't do that. No, that's a sacred oath, that birthday wish.
Do you have family birthday traditions?
No.
No? We have one in my family, and this
what
is the
it?
Tradition. It comes from my brother Jay. I'm one of 11 kids, as you know. And my brother Jay used to say, no matter who it was, the last candle, and we do this in my family now too, the last candle that goes out on the cake.
Yeah.
You always look to see the last candle, because that's the one you grab. He goes, oh, take the last candle, make a wish, break the candle.
While it's lit?
No, no. It's the last candle to go out.
The last
it's
candle
gone out.
To go out. Okay.
Take the last candle, make a wish, break it, put the candle under your pillow, and in the morning, you'll have a waxy pillow.
That's funny. That's very funny.
I never get tired of him making that joke.
My
children, I believe, do get tired of me making that joke.
My son was born the day before Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving is basically his birthday.
Can we do this right here?
Yeah, this is, I did. There he is.
Yes. Malcolm.
Yeah, Malcolm Mulaney.
Turning two next month.
He's wearing a swim diaper there, which is a wonderful, wonderful product that turns to mush as soon as water touches it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's his. He likes to wear baseball hats. I really enjoy that. He was born right around Thanksgiving, so we'll always have Thanksgiving. We'll always, you know, have some sort of Thanksgiving tradition for his birthday, but mm-hmm. That'll be the first one in my family.
Sure.
Yeah.
Were you in the middle of a story and I interrupted you by showing the photo, or was the Thanksgiving thing the whole story? Because it really felt like you were on your way to more story than that. And that somehow I derailed you, and you went, I'll just go with the Thanksgiving
thing. No, that one wasn't a winner. That was the whole story.
Well, you look, you're like, do you, I mean, I know you're on the road, but do you get to spend a lot of time with him?
Oh, I roll with Malcolm 24/7.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And you love being a dad?
Oh, my God. It's the greatest. I mean, and he's a fascinating person. Like, no, he's really like...
They are people, and that's what's...
Yeah.
Strange about it.
He's a really, really happy guy. And
like you.
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that I can kind of protect him in that way makes me very happy. And he talks all day now. He can string together sentences.
Wow.
So, like, we just walk around. During the strike, we would just walk to the donut shop, walk to 7-Eleven to get scratch-off lottery tickets. He walks next to me. He wears a baseball hat, and he talks. We talk the whole time. Like, later in the day, sometimes when he's asleep, I'll be talking to Olivia, and I'll be like, who was I talking to earlier about how if we put that there, if we put that there, it'll blow away? Oh, yeah, that was Malcolm. Or she'll go, she once went, do you want a grill tonight? And I went, sorry, I was just talking to someone about how the grill is hot, hot, hot. Oh, right, that was Malcolm. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He's a very funny guy.
What's that feeling? What's that feeling like for you when the first time the baby was put in your arms? Because my reaction was, oh, I've been dumb.
You've been dumb?
I've been dumb. I thought I knew what love was.
Oh, yeah. No, I felt that. I felt, my first thought was, if he's good, I'm good. That's all that's all that matters. If he's
that
good, I'm
good. That never goes away.
Yeah.
We have to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back with more John Mulaney, everybody.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings early and ad-free starting May 1st with a 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody. We're back with John Mulaney. The new album is Baby J. You've been hanging out at home a lot with Olivia's mom. I noticed that you guys,
yes,
you guys have fun together.
Yeah, me and Olivia's mom, Miss Kim, hang out all day and all night. She first came, when we had the baby, she came to stay with us for a little while, along with Olivia's stepdad, and it was amazing. We became like instant friends, and we watch 1 to 2 Korean period pieces every night.
Korean language films.
Yeah, Korean language films. Miss Kim, Olivia's mom, is from Vietnam, but there's a big wealth of Korean romance stories and historical period pieces from the Joseon era when, medieval Japan and China were always invading Korea.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, for sure. And so we watch a couple a night. Olivia doesn't want to watch these. She's like, you two do your thing. She once found a notepad I had with a list of Korean movies that I had read good things about to watch with Miss Kim. And she wrote, this is more effort than you've put into any of our date nights. So one night, I'm sitting with the wonderful Miss Kim. We're on the couch together. And we find this Korean film called The Handmaiden. And one person reacted, because it's serious. Okay, set in the early 20th century, it's about this book collector and this kept woman, and we're watching the film. It's right up our alley. Korea, old-fashioned, perfect. It becomes, Stephen, the most graphic, sexual, erotic, the most, like, I was like, truly, like, this is what people mean by erotic. This is like, so we're watching this scene, and it's the kept woman and this woman that visits her begin a relationship together. So the two of them are, like, I can't on CBS, like, say. Like, they're really, like, it's an intense, erotic, historical Korean moment, okay?
Is there a fair amount of this? Is there a fair amount
of this?
No,
that's if, yeah.
That's, spinning plates.
I was doing the English overdub of going, folks, there's a lot of intense, erotic Korean things.
You're on the street bringing peoples into the theater.
Yeah, please, folks, the handmaiden.
Get in here.
A handmaiden. Watch it with your girlfriend's mother. So I look over. There's a very intense, I can't say any more about it. Very intense. They're right against each other. Very serious. Very physical. I look over. Me and Miss Kim are under the same blanket, I realize.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So.
Oh, no.
It's just like that. We're just kind of like. Mm-hmm. And Olivia's mom looks over at me and goes, I think they're a little bit lesbian. What do you think? and then there's an oral sex scene that's off the charts.
Oh, my God.
And
is this available on Netflix? Where are we?
I'll text you like I did the Anthony Hopkins
movie. Please.
It's so much that you have to look at each other. Like,
yeah.
So I just look over at her, and she's staring at me, and she goes, hormone, everybody got them. What do you think?
It's a good relationship.
It's a good relationship, yeah.
Well, listen, we got to go. But before we do, I want to give you something, is that I have a gift for you.
You do?
And I've meant to give this to you for many years, since the first time you were actually here sitting on this couch talking, because I think you mentioned the first time you were on that we actually met when you were a Georgetown undergrad, and
yes.
I was down there for a Daily Show piece.
Yeah, I walked past you. Super
yeah.
Excited.
You described yourself as a hungover little gremlin.
Yeah.
And I had gone down there to do a piece on someone who wanted to make St. Gabriel Possenti the patron saint of handguns.
Right.
And I interviewed the guy who was lobbying the Vatican, and then I went down to talk to a Jesuit at Georgetown
yes.
University. I ran into that day, and then we went our separate ways
yeah.
until we're sitting
so
here together.
Back, yeah.
But the guy who was trying to get St. Gabriel Presenti to be the patron saint of hand cons gave me a Gabriel Presenti medal that day.
Oh.
And since the day you came on that show and reminded me that we'd met that day, I dug this out of my old things, and it's been on my dresser at home, and I keep meaning to mail it to you.
Oh.
So I would like to give it to you tonight. And just in celebration of you getting your together, I would like
to... You're going
to
put it on me?
Or like, oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Baby J. Baby J is available now. John Mulaney, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown. New season streaming June 2nd. Exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.